Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Lord's house, Romans chapter number 13, I want to look at two verses here. With the help of the Lord this morning, give you a little thought, and then we'll go home. Romans chapter number 13, if you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word this morning. Romans chapter number 13, and I want to look at verse number 11 and verse number 12 today. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 13, verse number 11, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Notice in the middle of verse number 11, the Bible said this: "It is high time to awake out of sleep." I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while this morning. Time is running out. Time is running out. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, God, for being good to us. I thank you, God, for mercy. I thank you for grace. I thank you, God, for the privilege, God, to be in your house again this morning and to be able to preach your word. I pray, God, that you would help us today to rightly divide it. God, I pray, Lord, that we would say nothing out of context. God, we'd preach only the things, God, that you'd have us to say today. God, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here lost, God, that you'd save them. God, anybody here out of your will, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring them back close to you today. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. We'll give you the glory and give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, to look at this thought, time is running out. I love the book of Romans, and I enjoyed this week. And last week, as I began to look through the book of Romans again, anytime I preach out of a book, I always try to read several commentaries, the beginning of them, to get in mind what's going on in that book, what the context of that book is, what the writer is dealing with in that book. And it's very interesting when you look at the book of Romans. Matter of fact, it starts one way, and this is the way it ends. Let me give it to you. It starts with condemnation, the need for God's righteousness. Then we find justification, the provision of God's righteousness. Then sanctification, the demonstration of God's righteousness. Restoration, Israel's reception of God's righteousness. And then there's an application, the behavior of God's righteousness. And boy, that is the way that we was found one day. We was found condemned in sin, but thank God he justified us. He is sanctifying us and restoration or restoring of us. And now we are applying his righteousness to our life today. You see, our righteousness is as filthy rags according to the word of God, but I'm glad it's not my righteousness, amen. He that knew no sin became sin, so that I may be made the righteousness of God through him. Who is him? It's Jesus today. And Romans teaches us that. When you come to the word, or do you come to the subject of time today, you'll find that in studying the Bible has much to say about time. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned 619 times in 562 different verses within the word of God. You'll find that as you get older, you'll find that time is a very precious commodity today. Time is a very precious commodity. I read some things about time, and let me give them to you this morning. Time waits for no one. Lost time is never found again. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you never get it back. The greatest gift that you can give someone is your time, because when you give them your time, you are giving them a portion of your life that you will never get back again. We all make time for what we feel is important in our lives. Can I just back up and say that one again? We all make time for what we feel is important in our lives. I'm going to pick on one right here a little bit because I know I can, and maybe he won't get mad. But Rodney and I was talking before service, and he said he was on a diet. And I said, since when? He said, about 2 weeks. And he said, this is leaving. And I said, well, praise God. And I said, he was talking about the couples retreat. Some of us on Tuesday night of that couples retreat, we always go eat Japanese together. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. At the couples retreat, I'm still going to eat rice and I'm going to pig out when we go eat Japanese that night. I said, that's in November, man. I said, you won't even be on a diet then. He said, have a little bit of confidence, man. I may be. And I said, well, how much are you exercising? Well, the conversation stopped. And I said, exercise. How much are you exercising on this diet? I don't have time. And I said, well, I don't either, but that's the reason I get up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning to do it. Well, we all make time for what we feel is important. Come on now, I know I'm picking on Rodney a little bit right there. I don't have time to go to church Sunday night. You made time for something. I don't have time to go to church Wednesday night. You made time for something. I understand if it's a job and you are taken away because of that. I understand things that are legit. Somebody give me a witness right there. But we make time for what we feel is important in our life. I read this one and found it interesting. Time slips away like grains of sand, never to return again. One said this, the bad news is time flies. And boy, isn't that true? Time flies. But the good news is you're the pilot. Time flies, but you're the pilot. In other words, you do with your time what you want to do with your time. What you want to do with your time. Yesterday, I'll give you an illustration of myself, not to pat myself on the back or nothing. I just know me better than I do anybody else here, okay? I spend more time with me than I do anybody else. Y'all with me right there? Y'all do too. Y'all spend more time with yourself than anybody else. And me and Caleb back there, we had some very spiritual things we needed to do yesterday morning. And we needed to go to Allegheny County and move a deer stand. And Friday afternoon, I was over at that golf tournament for a while, and I knew Monday and Tuesday was going to be very busy. So I sent Caleb a message Friday evening. I said, hey, man, be honest with you. I just need to take in the morning and spend the morning with my girls. I'm just going to spend time with them. And that's what we did. We went to Main Street and walked around, and we just spent the morning together. We rode up in Cana, Virginia, and we just had a good time. Why? Because time is flying by. One of them's 20, one of them's 17, one of them's 11. And you know what? Really, my time with my 20-year-old is about gone. She's fixing to get out of college and to begin her life. It's about gone. I've got just a few years left with my 17-year-old and a little bit longer with my 11-year-old. So if I'm going to spend any time with them, I better pilot this flying time the right way. Are you with me this morning? Time flies, but we are the pilot. I thought about this verse. Listen to what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 5. You don't have to turn with me. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here's what he says in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. He said that we are to redeem the time. I got to study in that word redeem. Now I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. I got to study in that word redeem in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And here's what it means in a theological term. It means to redeem time is to use more diligence in the improvement of it. To be diligent and active in duty and preparation of time. Why do we need to make the most of our time? Well, can I say this by way of introduction? Because the days are sinful. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we are living in a sinful day. Matter of fact, if you study the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, you'll find out that in the first 7 verses there's 22 different sins that is mentioned that will be in the last days. And I guarantee you, in the last 12 hours in Surrey County, they was committed. I said, "Preacher, what are you saying? We need to redeem the time because the days are sinful. We need to redeem the time because not only the days are sinful, but simply because of the shortness of our days." What did he say? He said this in Job 14:1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." One day you will wake up and go, "Where did time go?" Where did time go, man? Where did... 17 years I've been here as pastor. Next year, Leslie and I will be married 25 years. Can you believe I've put up with her that long? 25 years. Can you believe she's put up with me that long? Don't nobody say one word. But 25 years. Brother Charles and I was talking this morning, and he said, I think it's 14 or 15 years. Him and Miss Gay's been coming here to church. It seems like yesterday they visited for the first time. Matter of fact, I remember going to Mount Pleasant, and it seems like yesterday, and Miss Gay going, "Pray that God would save my husband." Boy, here we are. Time flies by today. Why do we need to redeem it? Because the days are sinful. Because of the shortness of our time or the shortness of our days. But I say this, we ought to redeem the time because of the supplies that is endless. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" I simply mean this. The Bible said this, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're already white unto harvest." In other words, the opportunity that's in front of us. There's never been a greater day to serve God than in the day and age that we live in. There's never been a greater time. You know what? There's people that needs to be saved. There's people that needs to come to church. If somebody would just simply tell them how to get saved or where they could go to church, or, "Hey, I'll stop by and get you." Man, the opportunity is endless today. I thought about this, and then I'll preach to you just a little bit this morning on time is running out. I thought about this. I wrote this down this morning. This is a sobering thought when we think about it. Have you ever, I'm like a very picky person when it comes to food. And any time that I get something out of our refrigerator, and it's not because Miss Leslie leaves old stuff in there, it's just because this is the way I am, okay? But anytime I get something out of the refrigerator, Brother Brian, I look at the expiration date. And if it's that date, in other words, if today is the date that it goes out, guess what? John's not eating it. And Leslie will say, "So, honey, that's just a date. It's still good for 2 or 3 weeks. No, it ain't at John's house. It might be to Leslie, it might be to Victoria or Madeline or Olivia. I can tell you it ain't for Olivia. Me and Olivia's throwing it in the trash. Food's got an expiration date on it. Your battery, if you look on it, there's an expiration date. And I thought about this. You know what? On your life, there's an expiration date. We have an expiration date on our life. What is that date? I don't know, neither do you, because the Bible says that we don't know that. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to be faced with death. We may have walked in here today. Matter of fact, Brother Tim got here early this morning, and he was helping me put the donuts and stuff out. And I asked him, I said, "Brother Tim, you having a good morning?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm not 6 foot under." I said, "We're not right now, but we may be before the day's over." You say, "Why are you being such a bearer of bad news?" No, I'm not being a bearer of bad news. I'm just telling you reality today. Man, you may have tied your shoes and the undertaker untie your shoes this afternoon. The very flowers that's going to be on your grave or on your casket or at your funeral could be in the florist today. The clothes you're going to be buried in could be in your closet today. Our life has an expiration date. Our life has an expiration date. You know what? Today may be my expiration date. I hope it's not, but it may be. And if it is, I didn't wake up this morning thinking, "Well, today will be the day I die." If it is the day that I die, I am doing what I would want to be doing the last day of my life. I'm preaching the gospel when I'm in church. You say, well, you wouldn't want to do this and you wouldn't want to do that. After church, I may do some of those things. But I'm going to tell you what I want to do the last day of my life. I hope, you've heard me say, I hope I die in the pulpit. I hope I die preaching the Word of God. That's what He's called me to do. I hope I die serving the Lord. We don't know what the expiration date is on our life. So time is running out. Number one, I would say this to you this morning. He said, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep. Now what he's saying this, you've been sleeping too long. You need to wake up and realize some things about life. You need to wake up. You need to... And I don't have time to preach all this, but he's given us that ideal of waking somebody up. Wake up, man. You ever wanted to just grab somebody and shake them and go, what are you thinking? Wake up! Do you not realize that only one life will soon be passed and all that's done for Christ is all that'll last? Do you not realize if you're lost here this morning, you could be taking your very last breath? What are you waiting on? Time's running out. Wake up. I would say this, number one, time's running out for salvation. It's very simple this morning. Time's running out for salvation. Preacher, I don't know how many I've heard say this. Preacher, I'm going to get saved one day. I'm telling you, preacher, I'm going to get saved one day. How do you know you got one day left? How do you know? Well, you know, I'm all right. Are you? Are you? How many people in the world went to bed last night and thought they was fine and woke up in eternity this morning? How many people yesterday got in their car and started up the road and thought in the world yesterday and thought, you know what, it's going to be a great day. It's beautiful outside. And some drunk hit them or somebody hit them or something happened. They had some medical problem. And today a family is mourning and grieving over a loved one that is gone. We don't know. We don't know. Here's what he said in Isaiah. Come now. Come now. He's given us the ideal of right now, the urgency. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here's what he said in 2 Corinthians. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation. I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Time's running out on salvation. Time's running out. I know I've said this, but let me say it again. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? There's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is here for a short amount of time, and then it's gone. Time's running out today for salvation. So, preacher, you know what I guarantee you? I guarantee you, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to watch the time this morning. But I guarantee you there's not one person sitting in this room that you woke up this morning and thought, you know what? I'm going to die and go to hell today. But can I tell you something? If it's your time to go and you're not saved, you're opening your eyes in hell today. That's just all there is to it. You said, preacher, you're being too forward. No, I'm just being honest with you. The Bible says open rebuke's better than secret love. If you're lost, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, I'll call on the Lord at my deathbed. That's when I'll get saved. What if somebody hits you and all of a sudden you're called out into eternity and you don't even have time? Why? Because time has ended. We all like to plan these things in our mind. I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to do it that time. Hey, look up in here. God's time and our time's two different things. Time's running out on salvation. Number two, time's running out. This is very simple this morning. Time's running out for service. I said, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" I simply mean this. Time's running out for you to do anything for God. It's running out. Say, "How you know it's running out?" Well, I'll get to this here in just a minute because the Lord's soon coming. But also because we don't know. We don't know. We think, "Well, I'm going to serve God. You know what, preacher? I tell you what, this is what I'm going to do. If you can give me about 4 or 5 more months, man, I got some things that I want to do and some plans that I've got made. And after that, you know, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give Him everything. I'm going to put my whole heart into this thing, preacher. I'm going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm going to be here for Sunday school. When we have special meetings, I'm going to be here. But, preacher, I just need a little time." We may not have a little time, or a little time may be all the time that we have. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord. Every person sitting in this room is going to stand in the presence of an Almighty God. If you're lost, you're going to give an account for your sins, and because you're not able to do that, you're going to be cast into hell when you stand before God. If you're saved, you're not going to give an account for your sins because that was taken care of on Calvary. Thank God for that. That's part of that justification that has been applied to our life. Amen. But we are going to stand before God for what we've done for Him. And when I stand before God, Brother Randy, that day, God's not going to question me on the vehicle that I drove. God's not going to question me on the house that I lived in. God's not going to question me on how much money that I made. Now, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with driving a nice vehicle. Nothing in the world wrong with that. Nothing in the world wrong with that. But if you have to pick up overtime and work Sundays and miss church to be able to drive that nice vehicle, something's wrong with it. Well, that ain't popular preaching, but it's right. There's nothing in the world wrong with having a nice home. Nothing in the world wrong with that. There's nothing in the world wrong with having money. But there's something wrong with money having you. Did you hear what I just said? There's nothing wrong with having money. It takes money to live. I understand that. But there's something wrong with money having you. In other words, you spend all your time away from your family, away from the church. You can't be faithful to nothing. All because you're chasing an almighty dollar. Then something's wrong. Are you with me this morning? And when I stand before God one day, church, God's not going to ask me, but you know what I'm going to give an account for? You know what He's going to ask me about? What I've done for Him. What I've done for Him. That's what's going to matter. That's what's going to matter. It's not going to matter whether or not Rodney stayed on his diet. I hope he does. He's going to get up in the morning at 5:30 and run 4 miles with me. Somebody have an ambulance and an AED there, but anyway, that's not going to matter. I do believe that we ought to take care of ourselves because it's the only body that we'll ever have to serve God with. This is the only body I ever get to serve God with. Now, it's getting real quiet and real tight right now, but I believe I got Scripture and can prove every bit of that because it's the temple of God. But I'm not even going to give an account for my health. I'm going to give an account for what I've done for God. You see, people make time for what's important to them. And the reason people don't serve God more than people serve God, more than they do, is because it's not important to them. Thank God for the ones that prayed Friday, okay? I thank the Lord for that. But you want me to tell you the reason more didn't? It's because it wasn't important to them. We make time. We make time for what's important to us. And time's running out to serve God, church. Time's running out. I thought about this. This is so simple. Time's running out to sing in the choir. But can I say something to you? If you're going to sing in the choir, sing in the choir. Man, open your mouth and let it rip. Amen. Let it. It drives me crazy I'm just going to preach to the choir, okay? If you ain't in the choir, don't worry about this. I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I want to grab some of them, Brother Tim, and go sit down because you're not acting like you're on the winning side. Mark Gentry can show you how to act like you're on the winning side. Man, open your mouth. We're serving Jesus. That may have been the last time you ever get to sing in the choir at the church. If we're going to sing in the choir, sing in the choir. If we're going to teach a Sunday school class, teach the Sunday school class with your whole heart, man. If you're going to work in youth clubs, do it with your whole heart. Be faithful to visitation. Run a bus route. Time's running out in serving God. Number three, time's running out. Not only in salvation, time's running out in service. Number three, time's running out in supplication. See, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, here's simply what I mean. Time's running out for you to pray. Because the day's going to come that the person you're praying for is going to be gone or you're going to be gone. We prayed for Brother David. We prayed fervently for Brother David. We prayed our will and then for God's will. God's will and our will was not the same thing. But we prayed fervently for Brother David. There's no need in us praying for Brother David anymore. We prayed for Brother David to be healed. He was healed. He was in a different way than we thought, but he was healed. He's in heaven today, wouldn't come back. If he could come back, he wouldn't come back. He's looking down at us going, I'm having the time of my life. I'm sorry, y'all are still stuck in a sin-cursed world. But time run out for us to pray for Brother David. I want you to think in your mind of somebody right now that you know is lost. By their own testimony, you know they're lost. Now, you got that person in your mind. Let me ask you a question. Last week, how much time did you spend praying for God to save that person? Time's running out. That person could die today. Boy, it seems so tight in here this morning, but it's truth. Time's running out. How much did we pray for them, man? I think back in 2016, we saw that move of God in 2016 here in our church in the beginning of 16. And then in June and July of 16 at the Foothills meeting, again, 5 weeks and over 200 saved. And what God done and all of that was a result of somebody praying. Again, I don't know about you, but I've been mentioning this here. I've been praying for God to send revival again to our church. I would love to see revival one more time before the Lord comes back. And you know what? How much time have we spent in prayer for that? Preacher, my marriage is having trouble. How much time have you spent praying for it? Preacher, my kids are not serving God like they once did, and I'm worried about it. How much time have you prayed for them? You know, a lot of times we talk about how much we love somebody. But how much have you prayed for them? That will show how much we truly love somebody. You say, well, I just don't know if God can do it. Well, the Bible said this, we have not because we ask not. It said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It said, if I ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And he also said this, that he's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. And he goes on to say this, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you know what? It's the will of God for everybody to be saved. So when I pray asking God to save somebody, I'm praying according to the will of God, and he hears me. But when that person's gone, time's run out to pray for him. One more thing, and I'll be done. Time's running out on salvation. Time's running out on service. Time's running out on supplication. But I say this, time's running out on the second coming of Christ. I mentioned this, that in 2 Timothy 3, the first 7 verses, there are 22 different sins that is mentioned of the last days. They are happening all around us. We don't have to go to the streets of Charlotte or Las Vegas. They're happening here. There's no doubt in my mind that the Lord is soon coming. When you read this book, when you read the Bible, if you don't mind, come start playing softly. There's no doubt. And I've said this a few times, but I looked this morning. I want you to take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter number 3. Now I'm done. Revelation chapter number 3, it's 11:54. Revelation chapter number 3, and verse 14, he begins dealing with the church of Laodicea. We're living in a Laodicean church age. That's where we're at today. They're not hot and they're not cold. They just sit around like a bunch of wooden Indians. They ain't going to serve God. They ain't going to go get in the world and sin. They're just going to sit around and complain. They're lukewarm. Amen. Verse 22, Revelation 3 says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Chapter number 4, verse number 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." There's the rapture of the church. It's nowhere right there. We're leaving. Are you with me? Let me show you where we're living at today. Let me show you where we're living at today. Look in your Bible, and you see where verse number 22 ends. You see this white section before it starts verse number 1. See that white section? That's where we're at. Study the Bible. You say, "Well, what's right there? Us." You mean what? You mean tell what the next thing on God's calendar is? Come up hither. He's fixing to rapture the church out of this. The Bible said this. Paul refers to us as ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is a very interesting person to study. It's a representative of another country that is placed in a foreign country. He's placed there to represent his home country. Hey, I'm not an American. So what are you? I'm a heavenan. Can tell you the reason why? My citizenship's in a far different place than this. It's in heaven today. And Paul said that we're ambassadors. In other words, Brother Lord, we've been set here to work for our master, to represent our home country, which is heaven. There's something interesting about that ambassador. Any need that he has is met by his home country. The king or the president of his home country, any need he has is met by that country. Anything. But here's what is so amazing. They know when war is going to break out in that country. And before war ever breaks out in that country, that ambassador is snatched out of that country and taken back to his homeland where he can be at safety during the war. Let me tell you what's fixing to happen. He's fixing to snatch the ambassadors out of this country because there's fixing to be a war breakout where the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle, where man's going to seek death and he can't find it. Now you think about that. But before all that happens, guess what? We're getting out of here if we're saved. The second coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, is going to take place. We're leaving here, man. You study the Word of God, I'm telling you, the Lord could come back before we get done today. The only thing that I can find left is for the last person to be saved. That's it. You may be that person if you'll come get saved this morning. or that person may be somebody else, and here in just a few minutes, they're going to bow on an altar somewhere at a church and get saved, and we're going to be snatched out, and you're going to be left behind. And then this guy is going to walk out on the scene with a bow and no arrow as a symbol of peace. He's going to say, I got the answers to everything. And you know what? The world is going to believe him. They're going to take his mark, the mark of the beast, and they're going to be eternally damned to a place called hell. That's what's going to happen. But before any of that happens, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Time's running out on the second coming. What you doing with your time this morning? We do with our time what we want to do with it. I just wish I'd spend more time with my kids. You make time for what's important in your life. I say this in closing. You come to and don't remember the last 2 days, don't half know where you're at, you wondering whether or not you're going to live or you're going to die, it'll make you have a different look at time. I promise you that. Time is running out. And I beg of you, if you're sitting here lost this morning, boy, today is the day of salvation. If you're sitting here and there was a time you was closer to God than you are now, won't you find your place in an altar? Won't you junk whatever it is that's holding you back? Forget about it, forgetting those things which are behind. You know what? And say, by the grace of God, the time that I've got left, I'm going to use it for Him. Time this morning. Father, as we